ring the bell.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
Look, I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but boy, is it exciting!
With Dan the Moe Labransky.
Everyone has a price.
And Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
In clear violation of the law.
Welcome, 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 everyone. You got it. It is Sunday night's main event on a Saturday, but we can't call it that because I believe that is already taken and we stole it and moved it a day. But WWE has done two nights of WrestleMania once again this year, so we are doing the after party on both of those nights. I'm Jason Agnew. Hello! For those of you that are maybe new to the after party, we're doing the video thing now, and joining me, of course, amidst the wall of vinyl, Dan the Moe Labransky, how are you?
I'm doing good, Jay. I'm very excited to be here for the after party. Had a great time last time, but this is WrestleMania, so I expect we're going to really have some fun tonight. And look at the messages. The attendees are lining up here, so I think we're all ready to go.
Yeah, you got it. And tonight, truly, more so the time of an after party, as we're going to tip over the midnight hour as we are this show. Settling in right now, it says 11:53 p.m. at the moment, yep. And WrestleMania has only been off the air for about 10 minutes because things kicked off tonight, Mouth, as they, like, how appropriate. They come back, fans are in the stands, fans are totally getting rained on.
It sounded like they had to actually clear them right out of the building because they kept saying that the fans are filing back in. So yeah, it's not exactly the best start to the event.
Well, I think what happened is they didn't necessarily move them out of the stands, but let's face it, if you were sitting there in the rain, would you not run for cover?
Well, it looks like they gave them ponchos and stuff. Everybody seemed to have ponchos, so I'm sure they were ready. But, I mean, this is something we've talked about for years with these open stadium shows this time of year. There's always that chance you're going to have some weird weather, and they finally got it.
Plus, they're in Florida. They're in the hurricane state.
That's right. They're in Hurricane Alley there. Yep.
To be expected, for sure. This show tonight, let's rewind with Labransky. Were you excited going in 7 p.m. the pre-show, 8 p.m. the show? They moved it back an hour. Did you have hype for anything going in, Mouth?
No.
Just deadpan. I think it's extra impactful now that people can watch you say that.
And it's extra impactful from a guy named the Mouth that all I am saying is no.
Yeah.
Honestly, Jay, I was not excited going into the show. There was only one match I was really excited for. That's tomorrow night. And they messed it up as far as I'm concerned anyways. That's Roman Reigns and Edge and Daniel Bryan. I thought it should have just been Edge and Roman Reigns. So, and then on this particular night of the show, there was nothing really jumping. Even Sasha and Bianca Belair, I knew it would probably be good, but it didn't like grab me the way a WrestleMania main event should grab you.
It's funny. Andre is posted up in the chat here saying tomorrow is supposed to be thunderstorms all day long in Tampa. So I wonder what the weather's going to be like tomorrow night. Like, at least tonight, I guess there was sort of a contingency plan with maybe we just do it tomorrow and refund these people their ticket sales. But I mean, if it can't go tomorrow, which I think come hell or high water, it will go tomorrow. But I mean, tonight you saw an indication of them physically having to stop the event simply because of the lightning warning. I mean, that's the true problem. We can go through wind, we can go through thunder showers, but we cannot go through lightning. It's dangerous.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And also, really, you don't want a lot of rain. You don't want the ring filled with rain and water. We even saw a couple of people have trouble on the ramp tonight. Looked like they were going to slip,
Right? Not going to slip. We saw a full-out slip tonight. Good old Mandy Rose taking a tumble.
Yeah. So, I mean, there you go. So you can't let things get completely wet either. So it's a very, I've seen people try to wrestle in the rain before, dangerous. And it is not good.
It's not really good. Really
it's dangerous. So, and the thing is, if things don't fly tomorrow, what, you can't really hold it off after tomorrow. That's it. You gotta try your best to do it.
Let's hope it does get through. But tonight we did get through the event, and I did hear that despite the rain delay, Mouth, they did not cut the time of any of these matches. And I kind of thought, like, hey, maybe we don't do that women's tag match. Like, maybe that is cut, right?
You were hoping.
You know, let's cut it for today and cut it for tomorrow. And I just thought it was worse with the result, but no, they didn't. Anyway, so tonight, you know, to kick things off, I did think it was pretty appropriate that McMahon comes out, all the wrestlers are on the ramp. A big thank you to the fans for coming back. And we get to hear that catchphrase, despite a little stumble and bumble on the way there.
He's an old gentleman at this point.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Welcome to WrestleMania. You know, we get to hear that as we do, not each and every year, but a lot of years, and it's the classic McMahon line. Listen, so this is the first one where fans are back. We were told 25,000, Mouth, and I thought that would mean, much like an AEW where they spread these fans out, it just felt like 25,000 in the 100 level.
It looked no different than a regular event around ringside at all. Everybody was close together. Some people had masks on, some people didn't have masks on. I was surprised as well how cramped they were at ringside. It looked just like a regular show.
It did. Baby Rex sang the America the Beautiful, and then we got into the weather delay. Now, we don't have to go through all of these promos with the weather delay, but Mouth, did you get the flashback like I got with this? It was, you know, Saturday night's main event, and we're seeing all these promos off the top of the event here.
Right.
But also, you really saw who is comfortable cutting an improvised promo in their character, and I got to highlight one person, and that is Kevin Owens.
Yeah, me, that's
this
exact
guy is so damn good. To no one's surprise, but oh my God, when he took that mic, I put down everything I was doing and I just went, okay, tell me more, Kevin.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. Of all those promos where guys were literally thrown out there to kill time, he went out there and knocked it out of the park. And I agree, his promo was the best of anybody out there. The Seth Rollins one was really weird, I thought, the what he did. He just seemed to go out there and laugh maniacally like he didn't seem to know what to do. But the Kevin Owens one was an excellent piece of work for just probably just being grabbed and going, hey, we need you now.
Yeah. Seth Rollins doesn't know who he is. Seth Rollins tried to imitate Jericho with this when Jericho used to call Tom Phillips a different name every
time.
And he started calling Kevin Patrick Mike here.
Right.
And it's just kind of like, well, what are you doing, bud? Like, this has been done before and recently, so that it's not an inspiration, it becomes a copycat scenario. Mm-hmm. All right, so this actually started, the rain delay moved away at, I had 8:33 p.m.
when
my clock said, and we got the introductions of the WrestleMania hosts. Now, from not just Kevin Owens, but a series of good promos, including Bobby Lashley, including MVP, who was spot on, great. Drew McIntyre looked great as well. We then go to the two WrestleMania hosts, Titus O'Neil and Hulk Hogan, come out here. What went on? This to me, Mouth, there was, you know, Titus cut the majority of the promo. Hogan seemed to be reduced to a hype man. And then as Hogan goes for his big line at the end, Titus interrupts the big line to make sure that we know there's a night two. It just seemed that these two were not on the same page.
I don't know if the rain thing had thrown them off or they didn't sit down with each other and work something out in advance. But
this is scripted.
Well, it wasn't very good then. No, it wasn't. I guess it fit. It kind of went along with the rest of the show, really, if you think about it, in that kind of just a slightly glorified Raw is how I felt about this entire show.
Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley kicked things off tonight. People were still, hesitant to say that this was good for Drew. I thought that this was a good spot for Drew to come out first, to get the big applause, to be the first guy out there. Actually, I would have negated having Hogan and Titus out there, because I thought Drew should have been the first wrestler, even though we saw everybody out there on the ramp, but like the first guy who got the big entrance, and instead we had to sit through the hosts. But Drew comes out. I thought Lashley's entrance in this particular scenario, wow, that entrance works really well in a big venue with the lightning bolts.
Oh, yes. No, absolutely. Well, especially after we just had rain as well.
Also true. And you know what? I also have to say, and I think that this will really go towards someone that you is near and dear to your heart. MVP, even if he can walk fine, never gives up that cane.
Oh, yes, exactly. For the Fred Blassie.
Exactly.
Yeah, no. Hey, any good manager worth his salt always had a cane, right? Mr. Fuji, Fred Blassie.
Worth his salt, and he says, Mr. Fuji. Come on, Lavransky.
I'm just trying to see if you're paying attention, Jay. Seeing if you're paying attention. I agree. The cane used to be the referee's greatest tool, or the manager's greatest tool.
So what did you think of this match here? I mean, this is a match that we've seen a few times now. It did kick off the night, and ultimately Drew was not successful. But before we get there, and me talking about how I jumped out of my chair and was incredibly surprised, what did you think of the match itself?
Overall, not bad. I mean, both guys worked really, really hard. I mean, they did a lot of crazy stuff. Drew did like 3 future shocks in a row that Lashley kicked out of. Drew tried to get the Kimura on Lashley at one point, but he made it to the ropes. Drew did the Claymore. Lashley got the Hurt Lock on for a long time. And then eventually Drew actually goes out. The ref calls for the bell and Lashley retains the title. And I think I was just like you. I was very surprised. I really thought they were going to put it back on Drew here at this match. And they didn't. They left it on Lashley. So definitely a bit of a surprise there.
I thought as they played into the latter stages of this match and Lashley did manage to get the Hurt Lock on, that the big moment here would be Drew is the first person that breaks out of the Hurt Lock and then all of a sudden turns around, Claymore kick and the finish and the crescendo, and Drew McIntyre has the WrestleMania moment. I was very, very, very surprised. This is my biggest surprise of the show of Drew not winning here.
Yeah, I agree. But maybe they've got different plans. Maybe they're going to cool Drew off for a while and let Lashley have a bit of a run or something. Because I don't know what else they would be thinking. Because to me, even though Lashley's only had it a short period of time, the logical thing was to have, like you said, Drew get his big triumphant moment and win the title back.
Lashley is just, he is the most protected performer. He and Reigns are the two most protected performers in the company. But I do have to say, with the heel going over here, I don't think that bodes well for a heel tomorrow night. I could very much see this pushing forth Daniel Bryan with tomorrow night's result.
You could be right. We'll have to see. You could be right. But they must, maybe, I don't know, maybe because they broke up the Hurt business and now they just want to focus on MVP and Lashley. But they obviously must have something going on here, unless there's a rematch on Raw and then Drew wins it on Raw.
That would be terrible.
That would be bad, I know, but they've done it before, Jay.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so Titus and the NWO are in the back, and Bayley comes in. This promo, or whatever this was terrible. No one wants to too sweet Bayley. Yeah. This was not good. Bayley was terrible tonight, actually, but I just think that she was scripted poorly.
I don't blame her. She probably wasn't too excited being relegated to like being in a 2-minute promo at the back. She didn't even have anything going into this at all.
Did you not think that at some point after the Becky Lynch tease of night one on Instagram or Twitter that Becky Lynch was going to be a special guest of Bayley or interrupt Bayley or something? I was waiting the whole night for Becky Lynch to get in Bayley's face.
I think it would have been a good moment, even if Becky's not ready to return to action. Sure. I think it would have been a fine WrestleMania kind of cool moment. And like you said, we haven't seen her in so long. And they're not doing anything with Bayley anyways. If this was the best you had for Bayley here, pretty sad. I agree. When that news broke, I was thinking the same thing. A ding-dong segment would have been excellent.
And then you just have Becky Lynch come out because, and unannounced, there were no surprises on the show tonight, at least as far as appearance surprises.
Right.
But maybe tomorrow. Who knows? All right, we continue on. The second match of the night is just a mess.
Yeah, it was. It is. This was bad.
This put the turmoil in tag team turmoil. Let me tell you,
this
friends.
Put the turd in turmoil is what it did. This was horrible.
A notch.
Yeah, this was horrible.
Well, all right, so here we go. Two teams start. When one is eliminated, the next comes in. The winner goes on to face Nia and Shayna tomorrow, and that is not something to look forward to. Listen, I really enjoy Billie Kay when she's not wrestling. Shall I just say that? Should we just leave it at that?
Yeah, sure.
She wrestled here tonight, and it was good.
Oh no! I didn't like her play with Carmella, and then this whole thing where she's trying to mimic acting like Carmella, and of course she can't do it. And yeah, it's just the whole match was just a mess. And then especially the winners again. You know, you're surprised with Lashley winning. I was certainly surprised with how this one. The team that won was the team I thought that would get eliminated first. I didn't think these guys would even be a factor in the match. But then once I saw I'm like, okay, they're not coming out. They're not coming out. They're not coming out. I'm like, they're going to come out last. And then I'm thinking, uh-oh, they're going to win.
I was shocked, though. I still thought when they were out there that the Riot Squad beats them. The Riot Squad, who has, I don't know if they don't have any momentum behind them, but they're the most, they're the best tag team in this and would put forth your best match tomorrow with Shayna.
Yeah.
So I didn't understand this. So tomorrow we get Natty and Tamina versus Shayna and Nia. That is not something that I am looking forward to. Literally any other team, maybe from Mandy and Dana, would put forth a better match. Listen, I know Natty's in there, and I know people are going to say Natty's a great worker, but I don't understand why Tamina's even on the roster anymore. I don't know why she's there. Put Natty with someone else. And all the build of Naomi and Lana, like, not that I'm saying I wanted that to happen, but they were at first.
They were the first team eliminated, exactly, and quickly. They were eliminated quickly. And Billie Kay pinned Naomi. I thought this match was totally backwards, and it certainly doesn't make me want to see the tag title match. That will be a bathroom break, popcorn break match for sure.
I'm staring at our chat here, and Mike Roth has chimed in, and he's echoing something that I thought on Friday night as well, where he says, should have had Rey and Dominic winning the SmackDown Tag Team title match rather than this trash match. The fact that Rey and Dominic are not winning didn't win the tag titles on Friday.
Right, that's right.
It's neither here nor there, but didn't get the opportunity. This is a father and son tag team. There's a story to be told here. That is a WrestleMania moment.
But
Ray winning with his son at WrestleMania, that's something right there. That is a moment. We use it too often. Well, Michael Cole uses it more than that. But why did we have to watch this as opposed to see Ray and Dom holding those titles up high? No.
Absolutely. And Rey Mysterio with his whole history with the promotion and his career. He's the type of guys you want to see at WrestleMania, right?
Yeah.
So I agree. That would have been better than this. Why this match was included, I guess it was one of those, we need to get everybody on the card. But then the finish, I'm perplexed by the finish.
All right, Mouth. Match number three. I am going to sit here and openly admit when I am wrong. And a lot of people said, oh, this match is going to be great. It's Seth Rollins and Cesaro. And I had maintained that due to the way this match was being built, of having to do that swing 37 times or whatever they were going to do, I felt that it would ruin the match. I can say not only did it not ruin the match, but this match was the best match tonight. It was innovative. Both guys performed very well, worked excellent together. This was by far the highlight of the card.
It was a good match. I very enjoyed it. Honestly, Jay, the show to me was so mediocre. I don't think there was any highlights for me. This match was good, and they did make good use of the swing, and they used it in good spots and that. And it was okay. I thought it was great that Cesaro got the big win and everything and gets the big push. But I don't know. I mean, it was an okay match. It didn't blow my mind.
I thought it was it was the best match tonight to me. Okay. And the reason why I say this is because we also saw Cesaro continually going for the swing and then Seth getting out of it. We saw an early swing in the match, but along with that, Seth connecting with that corkscrew off the top, the corkscrew
splash. That's
innovative, fun move that we hadn't seen. What a great time to debut it at WrestleMania. I thought that was great.
The airplane spin from Cesaro.
UFO.
That was a major highlight. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like there's moments that clearly had been saved for this match. These guys had worked on things. We've seen the UFO before, but the fact that it was used as a setup for the swing.
Yep.
Even though the crowd, this is my biggest pet peeve of this match, the stupid crowd doesn't know how to count 360 degrees. And they count every half circle. So Cesaro maybe spun him about 12, 14 times, and they counted 23. Regardless, Cole looks like an idiot, but that's nothing new.
Yeah.
Saying he broke his own record, that's silly. I thought it was fun. I thought these guys were great. I thought it was an excellent match, and I thought there was lots of innovative moves. Very appropriate for WrestleMania.
You know what? It was a good match for what it was in its time and place, but the thing is, like, nothing's going to come of it. Cesaro, they kept pushing this was the biggest win of his career, but do you think anything comes out of it after this? Like, probably not.
I'm curious to see what they do. I think Seth is kind of lost. I don't know where they're going with Cesaro.
Yeah.
I did, however, I got to say, you know, it took them a while to get anything going with this feud, but the PSA that they aired on SmackDown and then re-aired tonight about Cesaro and like making it a political message brought to you by Seth Rollins.
Right.
I thought it was a very well done promo. It just took them too long to get there for the build to this match. All right, continuing on, Kayla is with Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler for no reason. Dolph has bejeweled his hair, which is crazy. They're asking about the Raw tag. They're asked about the Raw tag titles for some reason, and they say, "Oh, don't ever bet against AJ." Big E's out on the ramp to do the intro for Kofi and Xavier. That's a nice touch. And then we have the Raw tag team titles: The New Day, AJ, and the debuting Omos. Of course, mouth. All this is waiting for Omos to tag in.
Yep.
And then all the giant spots. Classic old school monster from a guy who loves the old school monsters. What did you think about Omos's performance here?
Well, again, they booked it properly. They kept it simple, and they kept it, like, the basic story of the match was them beating down on AJ to keep them away so he wouldn't get in there. I thought it was a bit weird that he wore street clothes. I guess is that the idea they can't find a pair of tights big enough for him? Like, what was that all about?
I agree. Make this guy some gear.
Yeah, like, come on. Is it really that hard? But I like the story and the idea of them trying to isolate AJ so he doesn't get in there. But then, of course, he does finally gets there. You know, everybody's giving him drop kicks. He's not selling them. He does the backbreaker for Xavier and for Kofi. And then he slams Kofi, and he just stands on top of him, and the referee counts. And so they're the new tag champs. The match was only 10 minutes long as well. They kept it nice and short. I think this is what everybody was expecting was going to happen. I thought it was okay for what it was. And I liked the way that it was booked smart and it was kept short.
I still don't find Omos to be intimidating, though. He just looks like a nice,
too nice
guy.
Yeah, he does. He does. I agree with you. Sometimes when you see him, you're like, he looks kind of friendly and nice, and, you know. But I think that was partly because he wasn't in proper gear. Put the guy in some gear. Like, you can't. You don't look. I don't know. To me, he didn't look like a badass coming out in a jacket and pants and a shirt. He needed some kind of gear or something to kind of set him apart, you know.
The steel cage match, your favorite, Mouth, your highlight of the night is next, and that is Shane McMahon versus Braun Strowman. Before Braun even gets to the ring, he's attacked by Elias and Riker. Shane finds sheet metal in the top of the cage to hit him with, Mouth. He does the coast to coast. For some reason, there's a toolbox at the top of the ring. What did you think of all this?
Did you see? Yeah, they had two bags attached to the top of the cage that had stuff in them, I guess, right? And I thought we were going to see a lot more plunder off the top of the cage after the toolbox, but thankfully that was it. Again, nice and short. This match was only 11 minutes long. You know, yeah, it was exactly what you'd expect it to be. It was ridiculous stuff, you know. Riker and Elias climbing the cage to help Shane, and then Strowman knocks them all off, and then yeah, the toolbox spot, and then Strowman, you know, Shane's trying to go down the cage. Strowman grabs his hand and he actually peels apart the fencing and rips it off and drags Shane back into the cage. And then, of course, he's got to throw Shane off the top of something, right? Like, Shane's got in his contract, I must be thrown off the top of something. So he kind of gave him the choke slam, threw him off the top there to the mat. And then he gets back down there, gives Shane the running power slam, pins him. Again, I was just glad that it was short. Shane's bump was pretty reckless. It was kind of like the Mick Foley one in the match with Undertaker, but it's his body. If he wants to smash it around, I guess he can. Yeah, it was, again, for me, it was just there. Like, to me, this looked like a cage match you'd see on regular weekly TV. There was nothing particularly spectacular about it.
Well, I mean, you did have Shane's big bump, and I think the one thing that we can take away from this, and I'm legit surprised, and I think it was Mark Andrada that brought it up, or maybe it was Boris, when they said that Braun Strowman would throw Shane off the top of the cage to the outside, and because he's an idiot, he'd lose the match.
Well, that would have been a more spectacular bump for Shane too. So, you know, I don't know. But this, again, it was short. It didn't last. Like, usually with these Shane matches, they go on 20, 25 minutes. At least this was kept nice and short. You took your big bump. Okay, let's get out of here.
The announcers are talking after this, and Bailey just randomly interrupts them again and is trying to do some sort of ding-dong hello thing, which fails miserably. Then she pretends like she knew the Hall of Fame ceremony was coming, so they throw the highlights of the Hall of Fame. The highlight of this for me, the highlight of the highlights mouth, was when the Bellas came out and they piped in chants of one more match, one more match, because they're coming back. You know that, right?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
They have Austin on the announcement of WrestleMania 38. It is in Texas at AT&T Stadium next year. My prediction for the main event is Reigns and Lesnar.
Yeah, I could see that.
Out there this year, Reigns and Lesnar. Booker T shows up on commentary. There's tons of bunny mascots that come to the ring. Miz and Morrison come out rapping, but they come out rapping over top of their track that has vocals on it already.
This was horrible. So horrible. This was the worst match of the show.
What?
This was the worst match of the show.
Bad Bunny was excellent.
No, he was not. He was horrible. He was horrible, no. Jay. He looked like crap in there. He should not have been in there. He shouldn't have had that much of the match. This is supposed to build up Damian Priest. This did nothing for Damian Priest. Damian Priest was a friggin' marker that stood in the corner the whole time. This was horrible. Horrible. Bad Bunny was terrible. Everything he did looked like crap. I can't believe you liked this. You liked this?
I'm not saying I like this. My issue with this was not the performance of Bad Bunny. I thought Bad Bunny was absolutely exceptional.
Bad Bunny was bad. Sorry. He was bad. He lived up to his name. He was bad.
The problem to me here was we had seen the structure of this match earlier in the night, because this match was built around Damian Priest getting the hot tag and standing on the apron, which is backwards, actually, because we should have seen Bad Bunny on the apron and Damian Priest doing most of the work. But with this, Bad Bunny was beaten down over and over again, like AJ was beaten down earlier in the night by Kofi and Xavier. And you just waited. So we just saw the same type of format of the match. But as far as what Bad Bunny did, I mean,
horrible.
There was the crazy entrance that he got, which, sure, cool. He gets the massive fireworks. Clearly, they're making a big deal out of this guy. John and Way's faces appear during his intro.
Yes, I saw that. See that? That was hilarious. Yeah. Yes, that was great.
Along with that, we get... I just thought, like, he did the dive off the top.
Dives and stuff. And yes, the Canadian Destroyer looked good, but a lot of the times he wasn't in the right place for the guy he was working with. Anytime they tried to do like arm drags and stuff like that, it looked really kind of sloppy. I was not impressed. And like I said, what does it do for Damian Priest? This was like, this is going to be Bad Bunny's begin his career in wrestling, like, which I don't think is happening at this stage. I don't know. I hated the long entrances. I hated the match. I don't like the story to begin with. clip, and I really don't think I thought Damian Priest got completely screwed because he was literally a non-factor the entire match.
Well, I do think he did play second to Bad Bunny here. Clearly, their agenda here was to get as many highlights onto TMZ and every possible media outlet that would want to cover Bad Bunny, and that's why they did this.
Look at this, and everybody on the wall here is going wild. Oh, Mouth must have drank too much. I thought Bad Bunny was great. Oh, he's such an AEW mark. If he did this there, he'd love it. No, I wouldn't. This was horrible. I thought it was horrible. I did not drink during the entire pay-per-view, all of you, so you know. I save it for the end. I figured I'd fall asleep with this boring show if I drank. For any of you there that think I'm full of crap or that I'm making this up or that I've drunk too much, no. He was shitty. Period.
Okay, I thought he was way better than I expected him to be. But I mean, it's also a celebrity and it's his first match. But hey, he was put into this situation and I thought he did just fine. Okay, so that led us to SmackDown and the Women's Championship, the main event of tonight. I had no problem with this. This was a great way and a star-making moment for Bianca Belair, at least it had potential to be, and I do think it is, taking on Sasha Banks, going in as your champion, Sasha finally playing the proper heel. Now, you know, Mouth, I know we're two white guys sitting here talking about this, but WWE just has, they're just so not subtle. Michael Cole.
Yeah, I know, starts, I know exactly which line you're going to say. Yeah.
He says, this is a historic night as it's the first time two black women have been in the main event of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That is great. Don't get me wrong. That is awesome. But let someone else say it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, let a journalist say it. You can put it out to the press somehow. But when you just... when you throw it out, it just becomes propaganda.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. And it's that kind of patting yourself on the back kind of thing, right? Right, which never comes across well. So, yeah, I know as soon as he said that, I just kind of rolled my eyes and went, oh, yeah, okay, Michael, whatever, you know.
So this match, basically, what I feel like they tried to do is get Bianca Belair's strength over and then allowing Sasha Banks to play the heel and do everything that Eddie Guerrero would have done in a match, because she does idolize Eddie Guerrero. And I think that that's where we went back and forth here. I thought that these two worked pretty well together. I thought Bianca really got showcased nicely with, you know, the standing shooting star press, going for the 450 splash off the top, and Sasha getting her knees up. She took that.
Oh yeah, that was very hard. Yeah, that, I wouldn't be surprised she broke a rib on that, because that she hit those knees right on the mark, and yeah, really, really hard. But she did do that long standing vertical suplex. She did. Yep. I thought was amazing, right?
Carrying Sasha Banks back into the ring, which didn't completely make sense. But
no, but
you know what?
But again, it looks exactly. It's a great visual, though, for her to do that, pressing her, walking her back up the steps. That one was tough. I thought, oh, she's going to drop her. She's going to drop her. But she pulled it off. I mean, I enjoyed this match. Again, it wasn't very long, which I liked. But I thought both girls worked really, really hard. And they did do a good job of showing off the strength of Bianca. And she's the one who should get that. In this instance, I think we all agree she's the one that should get the win anyways. And it's a great finish to the show. So this to me was more of a highlight than Rollins and Cesaro, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good way to go off the air. It was your feel-good moment. I mean, yes. WWE is very much for feel-good moments. Yep. Actually, you know what? The funny thing is, though, with this being a feel-good moment, does that mean we get a feel-good moment tomorrow? I keep trying to predict this final tomorrow. I don't know what's going on with it.
Well, we're going to get some kind of, we've got to get something. I can't see them do a whole other half show without something like that, but it might not be in the main event. It might be somewhere else, right?
Right. All right. So clearly you are not too fond of what happened in night one here and are hoping for better tomorrow.
Well, you know what? I don't want to say that like I hated it or anything like that, Jay, but it wasn't like it blew me away. I didn't really hate it. It just kind of sat in the middle for me. Like I said, it really just seemed to me more than an overextended edition of Raw. It didn't have that. To me, it definitely did not have the WrestleMania specialness.
what would have made it better for you? Because I felt with the staging and the crowd back there that this did have a WrestleMania feel.
I mean, it was great having the crowd back and stuff, but I don't know if it made that much of a difference. Did it really? Because to me, I didn't really think the crowd was even that animated for a lot of the show. And I also think they were still piping in fake crowd noise, too.
Oh, they were, for sure, for sure. There's no doubt about that.
Well, I don't know. It was good that they were back, and it was nice to see, as a fan who I hate the Thunderdome gimmick and I hate all those screens, so it was nice not to have to stare at all those screens and see real people. But I also... I don't know if it was the way it was mic'd or they just didn't have enough people, but I didn't really get the feeling that the people were really going wild for this show. You have their first time back in front of the performers.
Open air.
Yes,
open air stadium.
Part of it, right,
open air stadium is a huge... Think about that. Open air stadium is a huge part of that when there's 70,000 people sitting in the stands. Only 25 people in an open air stadium, then of course that is going to be difficult to garner the crowd reaction that you want. All right, Mouth and I have had our say. Mouth in particular has had his say on Bad Bunny and other things. So we'll
by the way, the Bad Bunny thing, all these people are putting that, he really is an old man. He really is an old curmudgeon. It's like, it's got nothing to do with being old. It's got nothing to do with him being a musical performer and me not knowing who he is or anything like that. It's got to do with he was crappy in the ring. That's it. He was crappy.
Hard disagree on that. Hard disagree. But that's what we're here for.
Yeah, you're allowed.
Can we make that a poll, Mark Andrada? What did you think of Bad Bunny?
Actually, although I feel everybody, it seems like everybody loved it. Like, I definitely seem to be in the minority here. Most people thought he did a good job. I thought he was incredibly sloppy. And again, it was supposed to work to get Damian Priest over, and that did not happen.
Okay, so, I mean, I'll give you that. But one thing you can say is that at least Damian Priest didn't take a pin and hasn't taken a pin since coming up on the main roster. And that's actually been very good for him because we've seen WWE fumble NXT talent over and over again. So he's been protected while standing beside Bad Bunny.
I agree to a certain degree, but even in the build to this, I felt Damian Priest was somewhat in the background. The focus was Bad Bunny and Miz, and I don't really think Damian Priest... Look, they didn't even add him to the match to the very last minute. I don't really think he really even benefited that much from the build because the focus was so much on Bad Bunny and Miz.
All right, that is our say. There we go. Yeah, the poll is up here. What did you think of Bad Bunny's performance?
Thank you,
Mark Andrada. So we got the thumbs up, thumbs down, or thumbs in the middle. As Mouth and I used to say, where are your thumbs?
That's right, yes.
So go ahead and mark that in. And host and panelists can't vote, so Mark has prevented you. Host and panelists can't vote? Yeah, so Mark has prevented
vote.
You from voting. It might actually be a clean sweep then.
Yeah, maybe.
Mark, let us know. I guess you can just...
It doesn't matter how many people. Nothing's going to change my opinion. I thought he was horrible.
So 84% of people said that... We've already got the instant votes in. 84% of people said that he was a thumbs up, 4% thumbs down, 12% thumbs in the middle. Thank you for that quick poll, Mark Andrade. And now, hey, Mark, flip on your screen here, and let's just get your thoughts on what happened. And then also, guys, as Mark does that, what are you doing? This is ridiculous. Mark is dressed like a pirate. This is the fun of the after party, friends. So listen, also, if you do want to chat, all you got to do is raise your hand and Mark will put you into the into line in order to have your say. This is the way that we're doing phone calls now. We do Zoom calls. So with that in mind, Mark, what did you think of tonight?
Yeah, I thought Can we just appreciate my fake mustache for just one second?
It's on top of your real mustache, though. Your mustache is great to begin with.
Ah, you know what I mean? Anyway, I thought it was a fun bit. I thought it was a great show. I thought it was a fun show. I think maybe I was just excited to be watching WrestleMania and also to see the crowds back. I was really curious to see how the crowds reacted to things. And I think I'm even more curious to see how crowds react tomorrow. To see how they react specifically to Roman Reigns. There is part of me that's kind of pleased that Hogan was, there were some boos for Hogan tonight off the top. I'm just kind of done with Hogan. Like, is that awful to say? Like, Am I a bad person for saying I'm done with seeing Hogan?
Dude, I was done with Hogan in 1990. It's you're
despite
fine.
Your catchphrase.
Yes, you're fine.
You know, I don't know. Do we need to drag him out here again?
Stay
back there.
I don't know what he brings anymore. I don't think that he is any sort of draw. He does pop ratings, though, when they do promote him to be coming back. But his promos are autopilot. And like tonight he offered nothing and was terrible out there with Titus.
Yeah.
He was worse than Bad Bunny, wasn't he, Mouth?
You know what? Yes, he was. He was horrible.
It's my new thing I'm gonna do.
I
was pleased with that main event. I thought the main event was great. That's the match I was really looking forward to. I was also looking forward to Cesaro and Seth Rollins, and that to me that didn't disappoint. Dan, I totally get what you're saying about Bad Bunny. Listen, if I have to watch Bad Bunny again, I'm not going to like it.
Yeah.
But as far as tonight, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of, remember when Snooki got in the ring? And I'm not saying Snooki was good, but I didn't watch Jersey Shore very much. So when Snooki did those like backflips into the elbow in the corner, I was impressed. That just hit me in the eye. I'm taking this off. I was impressed with Snooki's performance because she could do a backflip because the bar was so low. So I think that's the reason that I thought Bad Bunny did a good job is because I was expecting it to be so dreadfully bad.
Well,
and then he did some stuff and I went, well, he did some stuff.
I think I was expecting the opposite, where Priest would carry the match and Bunny would go in and do a couple of predetermined spots that would look good rather than have him go in and most of it look like shit. Like it was just like, I don't know. To me, they gave him too much. Like they gave him too much. This was the thing was not really to get Big Bunny or Bad Bunny over. He's there as an attraction to help build another star. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
Do you think now that Mouth has said that, though, Damian Priest's new gimmick will be Big Bunny?
Oh. Big Bunny and Bad Bunny.
Big Bunny would be sick. I'd be into Big Bunny.
Big Bunny.
And listen, and Bianca winning the title, there's nothing bad about that.
I agree. That was the best match for me, and that was the highlight for me was her winning the title for sure.
Hey, there's someone, you know, we talk about all the NXT failures, but there's someone who they've really strapped the rocket to and have done a very good job with up to this point.
It's true. Yeah, absolutely. Like this was set up well. It was set up so everybody wanted her to win the title. I don't think you're going to find anybody tonight that's going to be upset that she won the title. I think the bulk of the fans were behind her. So, yeah, they've done a great job. Now let's see what they do once they have now that she's got the belt. Let's see what happens.
All right, Mark, let's go to the phones. Let's go to the Zooms. If you want to express your opinion about tonight, then by all means, pop on. Mark will pop you up onto the screen, and we will take your feedback. And looks like Devin is going to be our first one here. Hello there, Devin.
I got to start my video. Okay, can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I have a recommendation for everybody. Just watch the pay-per-views. You will enjoy the product so much more. Ignore Raw and ignore SmackDown. I know that you all probably can't because you got the show, but I've enjoyed the product so much more. I started that a couple months ago. I thought the show was great. Outside of the tag team match, which was a mess, but I got pizza during that time. So that was good.
You know what's interesting about that, Devin? You bring up a good point because these pay-per-views are structured and designed in a way they are for people like you. Because when you don't watch the weekly TV, those 5-minute recaps are very valuable and are so well produced that they become very impactful and they become joyful viewing. Whereas for us, we've seen all that stuff. We've seen the vignettes each week building on each other. So those clips are just incredibly annoying.
Or even worse, we've seen it fail for weeks and weeks and weeks. Then they can edit all the best parts into a 5-minute montage, and you don't see any of the crap that we've had to deal with for a month. You just see the great highlights. Then that's it. So I agree. If I could work in that style that you're doing, I would do the same. I wouldn't watch either one either. But that's the sacrifice we make for you guys.
And I'm so excited we did not get Reginald tonight.
So that's tomorrow. That's tomorrow. Don't you worry, Devin. He'll be on there tomorrow because remember, he's aligned with Naya now. So he'll be doing kickflips tomorrow.
I don't watch TV. I miss that.
Listen, you're gonna figure it all out tomorrow when you get that big vignette pack.
That's right.
All about the turn of Reginald. So don't you worry, Devin. Join us tomorrow. You can give us your feedback on Reginald, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Devin, for joining us tonight. That's great. That's so funny. Now WWE catering to people that people are enjoying it when they just watch the pay-per-views. Yeah. Could you imagine, guys, if we could just watch the pay-per-views? I agree.
Yeah.
Mark, you love an event. If you don't have to watch Raw every week, how much better would these be?
I'd still watch Raw, let's be honest.
Okay. Well, anyway,
I'm a glutton for punishment, you know? What else am I doing? So.
Who else we got? Who's coming up?
We have Matthew Smith. Matthew Smith is on his way up. I'm sure he's going to say something lovely about Shane McMahon. Yeah. Matthew Smith, if you want to turn your camera on.
Turn your camera on, Matthew.
You can do your camera if you want. You don't have to if you don't want to. But along with that, you do have to unmute yourself, and you did. Great. Hi, Matthew.
Okay. I don't know how to get my camera going, though, for some reason. Oh, here to start video. Hey. It's dark, though.
You're in a dark room.
Of course I am.
You sound great, though.
Oh, thank you. I want to start off by saying I got spoiled by these shorter pay-per-views that we had before, the 2.5 hours, 2 hours, 45 minutes. Because after the first main event tonight, which was the Shane Braun match, I was done. I was tired, right? I don't know how you guys do this. I'm almost 38 and like, I can't stay up this late anymore. And then by the time the main event happened, the Bianca Belair match, I fell asleep. I was gone.
So Matthew, hold on. But tonight, I don't think that we can really criticize WWE for tonight. They cut their pre-show back an hour because they didn't do 2 hours. They only did 1 hour. They got caught with a half hour rain delay. I think what we're going through, especially if you're on the East Coast, is the fact that they decided to move their pay-per-view start time back to 8. So instead of going from 7 till 10, which I agree, I prefer as well, they were going from 8 till 11, but they got bumped that half hour. So then they're going 8:30 to 11:30 because they opted not to cut the time. So in actuality, WWE planned this to be a 3 hour show.
Yeah.
So really, I think tomorrow night, maybe sleep in a bit tomorrow morning if you can, because we are going to go in an hour later. But I do think that we're looking at about 11 o'clock tomorrow night. Now, I may be completely out of my mind and you can criticize me tomorrow on this show if you so choose. But I do think that they are doing that. And especially with the pandemic and the way that they're putting Mania together for two nights, I do think they are still taking that into account.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess God did get his revenge on Vince McMahon and sent the rain.
He did. Yeah, after that tag match
that's
years
right.
ago.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. But I do have to speak up, though, about the Shane match.
Okay.
Of course you do. I'd be disappointed if you didn't.
I'm a little bit disappointed in it. Like, I know Shane had to fall off the top and do his big spot. But overall, I thought the match was... There we go. The best in the world. Overall, I thought the match was just... kind of blah, you know? I mean, Shane did come in with his lefts and his rights, his lethal strikes there, you know, with his MMA background. But I don't know. I think Braun just brought him down, right? Shane is just so much above where Braun Strowman's level is.
Boy. This guy's buying into the storyline. Well, the thing I think probably for part of that too, Matthew, is honestly, usually, as I mentioned, Shane usually gets double the time the match got tonight. They really kept that match short this time, which I was really surprised by. And if someone like yourself that's, you know, this is kind of the highlight of the show and you're, you know, waiting in anticipation, I can see why you'd be somewhat upset. They kind of shortchanged you. Me, on the other hand, it was a gift from God. So there you go.
Well, you got Bad Bunny in exchange.
Oh, great. Wow. What a trade. Wonderful.
Maybe that can be the next program. Bad Bunny versus Shane McMahon.
Oh, please.
Like, don't write that off, everyone.
No,
don't
I wouldn't write that exactly. off. Exactly. I don't either. I could totally see them doing that. Oh, my God, Jay. I could totally see them doing that. Oh.
And just one more thing before I disconnect.
Yeah.
I want to say I would love to see Reginald somehow team up with Omos.
I think that is the perfect pairing.
Oh. Yeah.
That is bizarre. No, I could see him doing a whole bunch of Cirque moves off almost, which we did see a bit of tonight with AJ jumping off his shoulders. Yeah,
exactly. Just think of the possibilities. It's such a perfect pairing.
You have a, well, you know what? People like different things in wrestling, and
that's it.
You like different things in wrestling.
That's right.
Thank you, Matthew. Appreciate all right,
thanks, guys.
You joining
yeah,
us
take
tonight.
Care, man.
Yeah.
All right, let's continue on and get our next attendee up here on the Zoom. Who's got the hands up, and where are we going to next, Mark?
And again, if you don't want to turn your camera on, you don't have
that's
to.
Fine.
Yeah, you don't have to turn your camera on. But if you do, I will put you up. Just know that. And it's Sean Burkhead. Sean Burkhead.
Hey, Sean Burkhead's here. How are you doing, Sean?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, I've been sitting here listening to Dan talk about Bad Bunny. And I actually kind of agree with Dan because Bad Bunny had like the coolest entrance tonight. And you're thinking like, why isn't Damian Priest with him? But I would disagree with Dan. I thought Bad Bunny was almost as good as Stephen Amell.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. There you go. That's very flat. I mean, that's
that is
very complimentary.
Pretty high compliment. Yeah.
Stephen
yeah,
Amell was very good. But Sean, you brought up a good point. Why the hell wasn't Damian Priest on that truck?
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Why did he just come
exactly.
out and wasn't beside Bad Bunny this, for
again,
that?
This just adds to what I talked about. The whole focus was on Bad Bunny way more than it should be. This made it look like he's sticking around. Like, this made it look like we're going to continue to see him on a regular basis, whereas tonight should be the last we see him. But I don't, from what I saw, I think we're probably going to see him. Maybe he'll be there tomorrow even.
I wouldn't doubt it. I think, is he going to stay around for maybe another match at Money in the Bank? But really, Damian Priest should be the guy that should have the rocket launching off of this program.
Yeah.
But there you go. We didn't have it happen, but luckily he hasn't suffered like EC3 and a lot of other people from NXT.
Yeah. I mean, that is the one benefit to being aligned with Bad Bunny. I'll be curious to see, though, what happens when Bad Bunny does go away. I mean, the guy is not dropping music for wrestling, but when he does go away, then how is Damian Priest treated? I mean, you brought up Money in the Bank, and really, if you think about it, Damian Priest, even though he's a babyface, would be an appropriate choice for Money in the Bank. As in the winner.
Yes. Exactly. I can see that happening. That would be pretty cool. But before I go, guys, I got to say congratulations to Bianca Belair, Knoxville's very own Bianca Belair, on her victory tonight. I thought that was a match of the night for myself.
There you go. Match of the night. Yep. Bianca Belair, yep. Star-making moment. So, I mean, it was a good one. And those two did perform very well, and they managed to get her over. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate hearing from you. Thanks for joining us tonight.
No problem. You guys take care.
You too. All right. There's Sean Burkhead, one of our loyal patrons, and also does his own podcast as well with Dave, with Big Dave, not Meltzer, but Big Dave Brightly. they did one of our podcast, our patron podcast competitions, and then just kept going. And a couple of them who did those have just kept going. So that is fun. Mark, where are we headed to next?
I actually don't know who this is. Okay. They are just a phone number, and it looks like they're in the 304.
All right. 304, code. Who's calling in? Hello.
Hey, Jason, it's Jeremy.
Oh, Jeremy. How's it going?
Hi, Jeremy.
Oh, it's going pretty good. Sorry, I had you on speaker there.
Hey, no worries.
Hopefully I sound better now. Yeah, but yeah, it was a fun night, dodging storms and watching wrestling.
So wait, so you were there tonight, right?
Yeah. I've sent the message for you to you back and forth. So.
Okay, this is great. This is great. Yeah, I couldn't see because it's just a phone number that comes up. Okay.
I know.
Jeremy had messaged that he was going there, so we actually have someone that was live there in attendance. So Jeremy, tell me about this. It was supposed to be socially distanced, but I looked around the ring there, and I know people bought in pods. What was this environment like? Because it just seemed like everyone was packed right together.
Well, I was in the upper level, so I can't really speak for the lower level. I know on the camera shots, like, you know, where I would look at some of it to tell exactly about, like, who was in the ring, what location. It looked to me like I was just watching a regular WrestleMania pay-per-view on there.
What was it like where you were?
Up in the upper level, I had tons of room. It was perfect for me. Like, I really enjoy the social distance stuff, like, because I don't like people right on top of me. So it was great. Like, literally me and my friend that was 5 seats over because we could only buy tickets in one pod, we were the only two people in our row. So, like, it was perfect. the only bad thing that I can really criticize him on is that they've talked about so much about all the precautions that they're taking, and there really wasn't any precautions taken at all. They told us all to fill out a health questionnaire to show our green check mark, like you do whenever you go in places. Nobody looked at that. They said there were supposed to be temperature screenings at the gate. There weren't any of that.
There weren't.
There wasn't any COVID precautions at all. Even whenever I got in, they had originally, I got there about 5:30. The first thunderstorm warning where they made everybody evacuate the stadium and made everybody get in the concourse happened then. And I was actually like right as I was arriving. So there was like a big horde of people just congregating in the concourse, nobody enforcing social distancing, right, anything like that. It was just kind of weird. It didn't really seem like there were many precautions being taken. I mean, I protected myself. I had my SNME radio mask on. I was good to go. other than that, it was, you know, I think they kind of put a good face forward for their public image, but I don't know if it comes down to the stadium enforcement or WWE enforcement, but it wasn't enforced.
Hey, well, I can't say I'm surprised. I mean, Florida and Texas are pretty much open season. If you saw the Blue Jays or the Texas Rangers home opener with the Jays, it was jam packed. So
Totally. I mean, if it's up to the state and the stadium, I would definitely, you know, agree with you there. But I would think the WWE would have more regulations on their own. But
from your vantage point, Jeremy, how was the rest of the, like, the crowd and the people in the stadium? Were they reacting to most of the stuff? Because it's so hard to tell, like Jay said, with the open stadium were people getting into what they were watching, or were they just kind of sitting there?
I have to say, at least up in my section, like I said, we were up in upper level, so I think you get a little bit, you know, type of different person. You know, we had the cheaper tickets. We were just there to have a good time. Up in my section, it felt really like a fun WrestleMania show. I've gone to several WrestleManias in the past. It didn't really feel a whole lot different. It felt like everybody was into it. And I have to give props out to this kid, Carlos. That was just in the row behind me. He had like the funniest chant like all night. He couldn't have been any more than 6 years old or something like that. But he was like cheering his heart out for Bobby Lashley in the first match. And in the women's tag, he's like, I don't care who wins this. The referee can pin somebody. Just let me see another match. Just this little kid. So he had funny stuff all night. So yeah, it was just a fun time. We were all chin stuff up there, and it might be, I'm sure it didn't make the broadcast, we were far away, but yeah, it was a fun time.
Are you going back tomorrow, Jeremy?
I'm heading back tomorrow, more dodging storms and watching wrestling. The one thing I'll have to say about the thunderstorm communication too is that they'll make the announcement to evacuate the stadium, but they will never tell you when to come back in. You kind of just have to watch whenever people will start back in, and you're like, are we actually supposed to go, or are these people just like tired of standing here? There's like really no communication. So, I think it's supposed to thunderstorm like all day tomorrow. This is a bad weekend for them to have it here. But there was literally I could tell in the clouds whenever we were evacuated, whenever the show actually started, and I pulled up my Peacock and I was watching the ad lib promos there. I could tell off in the distance there were actually like two Twisters that were like close to the stadium. So it was just an interesting evening. I never had that watching a wrestling show. But I came prepared. So yeah, it's a lot of fun, guys. I'll definitely call back in tomorrow night and let you guys know if anything changes or what's happening then.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely take a peek for your phone number there tomorrow. We'll make note of that so Mark can pop you on first, so we get the live report first, right after we are done running down the show. And I mean, Mark has now made
it. I love it
of the COVID vaccine,
the giant WWE,
yeah.
The giant WWE planet getting its shot.
Thank you very much for calling in, Jeremy. Look forward to talking to you tomorrow. Stay safe and dodge them raindrops and watch that wrestling. Hopefully you have another good time.
I'm dodging storms and watching wrestling. Sounds like a country tune.
Yeah, seems to be it. Mark, do we have more?
We do. We've got Tony. Tony from VA. That's all I can see of your name. Sorry, Tony.
Oh, it's Tony from Virginia.
Tony from Virginia. Feel free to talk, Tony. You should be able to unmute.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good. Tony, you're still awake?
Yeah, I can't find the camera for some reason, but oh well.
Don't worry about it.
I was just, I was honestly surprised the first match too. I thought for sure Drew was going to win. So I'm just looking up and down the Raw card. Who is the next baby face for Lashley? Like, are we seeing someone from NXT come up Monday night? I don't know who else is ready for Lashley's next program. I'm just wondering what you guys might think about that.
Well, I mean, mouth brought at the point that, hey, maybe it's just Drew all over again. Well, Finn Balor did lose. If they're willing to pop him back up. I was pretty surprised at that as well. I actually thought Finn would retain and then Karrion Kross would be making his way up and then Drew would win and then Karrion Kross and Drew would be a program. But I'm not sure where they go next. I mean, you've looked up and down the roster, Tony. Do you have any thought as to who could be next? It's someone, Joe Aguinaldo's in here. He's saying Braun Strowman. We have someone saying Keith Lee. Remember that name? Remember Keith Lee?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I was thinking Finn Balor as well. I went completely stupid and thought, do we see like a Lesnar return somehow? And now we finally get Lesnar and Lashley or something. But I mean, I could see Drew getting a rematch. Maybe it was Backlash the next one. They usually do like all WrestleMania rematches at the next one. But I thought for sure that Drew was going to get his moment, quote unquote, in front of a live crowd, but kind of like mouth. That's the only thing I was really looking forward to tonight was, besides the main event, was just seeing a live crowd again, because like the first caller said, I haven't watched a live episode of Raw or watched an episode of Raw or SmackDown since this pandemic started. I just can't do the Thunderdome thing, but I did enjoy tonight just to see the crowd again and actually see WrestleMania. I thought was great, but, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks, Tony, for calling in. That Lesnar-Lashley thing that has been thrown out for so many years that never did happen. I remember, I think it was the year that we launched. Oh, yeah, we're on an anniversary show, aren't we? Now that I think about it, because Sunday Night's Main Event launched 3 years ago, WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
I guess technically this would be a happy anniversary us. I think that was the year that Lashley returned from Impact, and I was positive he was being brought in as an opponent for Brock Lesnar, considering they both also straight off to do MMA and you just had a program served right up to you and we never saw it happen. But I don't know what's going through Brock's head right now.
Well, the thing with Brock is that he always likes to be with Heyman, and Heyman's occupied right now. Like, I honestly don't know if Brock would come back unless he could work with Heyman. And right now, he wouldn't be able to work with Heyman. So I don't know if we're going to see Brock anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he... And the big program for Brock, I do think, is that Roman Reigns program. But if that's the case, it's an interesting dynamic that is put forth there. Because if that happens, then how is it done? Does Paul Heyman betray Roman Reigns to return to the side of Brock Lesnar? And does Roman Reigns toss Heyman to the curb, therefore maintaining the heel, but Paul goes and gets Lesnar? Or does Lesnar come back, but Heyman stays with Reigns? Like, there's three different ways you can go with this program. Yes.
Well, it depends who you want what to be. Who do you want to be babyface and heel? Because certain scenarios are going to give you certain things, right? Like, I mean, if Heyman decides to leave and go with Lesnar, you're turning Reigns babyface.
Mm-hmm.
If he stays with Reigns, then I guess Lesnar's the babyface. Like, it really kind of depends what kind of dynamic you want here. I don't know if you want Reigns anywhere near a babyface anymore.
No, I don't think you want that until after his match with The Rock, which is, my opinion, 2 years away.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's that's a tough one. I guess it really depends how you want to play it out as to which story you pick.
Boris from NXT Talk is Boris. Joining us.
Boris.
And you've had a busy week, my friend. I've listened to a couple of your shows that you've done this week. So after watching one outstanding NXT show and one good NXT show, we now get to tonight. How did this compare for you, Boris? Oh, you got to unmute yourself.
Yeah, come on, Boris. Yep. You're not... There you go.
I know.
You're not exactly
tranquilo,
a newbie yet.
Tranquilo.
No.
All right.
Tranquilo.
I got to say, I turned it off. I watched this 100% as a fan. No expectations. And I figured out that's the way you watch WWE. I just sat down on my couch and watched the show. And it wasn't the best of shows, but I had fun. I had enough fun. There was enough good stuff in there. Cesaro, Seth... Damian Priest, the Bad Bunny, and all that stuff. I did like it. Don't do that, Dan. No. It was good. It was good. What else? And the main event was awesome. Like, I absolutely loved the main event. You know, you created a star like that. What else? What? How long has it been since we've created a star at WrestleMania? WWE for once did the right thing.
Or how long has it been since someone from NXT, like Jay was saying earlier, came up and made it to this point where they are a star? Like, to me, that's the amazing thing about Bianca Belair, is that she actually made it to becoming a star, you know, because the odds are usually so much against them when they come up from NXT.
Yeah, and luckily the women have done a better job overall. Like, they have the better track record of coming up and actually doing something. So I'm not too shocked there. But still, like, you know, it's her first official year up. She won the Royal Rumble. She made it to the main event and actually won, which, you know, power to her.
All right, Boris, though, that's the main event of tonight. But the main event on night one of TakeOver was Io Shirai versus Raquel Gonzalez. So you got two female main events. Two star-making performances for the challengers winning the title, but which one do you choose as the better match?
Raquel, Io, 100%.
No question about it.
Yeah.
Bananas.
Yeah,
that match was so good. The jump from the skull, like everything.
Yeah.
Io did so well. Like, kudos to Sasha, but Io just put in the effort in that match to make Raquel look like the monster that they were building her up to be for the past, what, 5-6 months?
Yeah, and it was late to the game on this because I've talked about it over and over again. You know, Raquel pinning Io at War Games. Like, I thought this was coming much earlier. The interesting thing about Raquel Gonzalez now is going to be, like, you can say, listen, I don't know if anyone has improved more than Raquel Gonzalez this past year, but what happens now that she's no longer wrestling Io Shirai? Who's the next opponent there? And because it has to be someone that can make her look good.
Yeah, I have a feeling that they're going to turn Raquel face. You know, she's just so likable. The reactions, it's just she's a face. So I think Dakota Kai might be her first program. Maybe. Or someone like a Toni Storm.
All right. Joe Aguinaldo looks to be on the line as well. Joe, you can chime in here. I know you've been watching all week long. Let's throw these questions at you as well. So with that in mind, we've got Raquel Gonzalez. Who do you think is up next for Raquel?
I agree. I think Dakota, Raquel turns, and it's got it. Dakota Kai is her next opponent. I can see
fast for them to break up, though, don't you think?
No, haven't they been around? Like, they've been a sort of a team for a while, and you could, like, you know, you could make the argument, because NXT actually does a better job of their storytelling, where Dakota Kai could be the, hey, this was supposed to be my spot, because I was like, she was the one that turned on Tegan Knox. She was the one that had all this momentum coming in. And then they bring in Raquel Gonzalez, and I can see where Dakota would say something along the lines of, hey, I brought you in, and like, now it's my turn, kind of thing. So I think Dakota Kai, that's a logical choice for her next opponent.
What did you think of tonight's show, Joe? What were your highlights? No, first of all, considering, you know, your co-host, Dan Lavransky, has really taken out on a Bad Bunny tonight, and you guys call yourself the old fucks on your podcast, let's get this out of the way first here. What is your opinion on the performance of Bad Bunny tonight?
Okay, I got to rewind a bit. So Boris made a really good comment about watching the show, in, you know, just kind of as a fan. All right. So I was kind of the same way. I kind of thought, okay, I'm not going to go in with any expectations. Quite honestly, I kind of tuned out after the Cesaro Seth match and started playing my PS4 and came back to watch the main event, 'cause I was really looking forward to that main event. So I honestly did not see the Bad Bunny match. So I have to defer.
How convenient.
I have to defer there.
How convenient.
But like, honestly, I think, you know, it was a good enough show. I think really for me, the highlight, oddly enough, was just seeing and hearing a crowd. You know, like even in the pre-show there, like you could hear the buzz of the crowd, which I can't, you know, I didn't know that I missed that until I heard it. And I'm like, oh yeah, I do miss that. So, you know, like Lashley Drew was good, and quite honestly, I'm surprised that you guys are surprised that Drew lost, because I didn't think that Drew winning was a slam dunk. I never bought into the notion that he was going to win, because that he deserved this WrestleMania pop. I didn't think that was the case, and the way that they've been pushing Lashley, I would have been more shocked if he had lost. I thought Cesaro Seth was a great match, and I really, 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 really loved Bianca's celebration when she won. And by the way, same with Raquel Gonzalez. You could see some genuine emotion there, yeah. and that, like, to me, that made it. Like, I thought, like, you know, both of those women did really well. Now, coming back to the wrestling aspect, I will say, and I think Boris will agree with me on this, I will say that the worst match on night two of NXT destroyed anything on WrestleMania night one.
Well, there you go. There you go. Yeah. Yep. And I'm not going to talk against that point. No, siree. all right, guys. Well, listen, it is very late right now. We've just passed over 1 a.m. I want to thank you all for joining us. Before we go, though, the main event of the after party, of course, we have been working on the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament since January. The 2021 finale is happening tonight, and we are going to play this out and get into it. We have Jay from North Bay versus Scott from Connecticut, and we are going to play it out right here, right now, and I'll pop on after. But this is our main event of the after party. Let's play into it. The 2021 Turnbuckle Trivia Championship.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday night's main event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they stay there.
It is time, friends. It's been a long road to get here. We started the Turnbuckle Trivia 2021 tournament the first week of 2021, and it leads us to WrestleMania Night 1, where the two players that made it through the brackets are going to play tonight. The winner will play for the all-time Turnbuckle Trivia Championship. But let's introduce our two players. You know him, you love to hate him, because he was the number one seed and told you that he was going to run this competition. Last week, he went through and took out the underdog that was killing all the champs, Matthew. He beat him, and now he's going to try to beat his opponent tonight. Scott from Connecticut, you're sitting in a parking lot while you're doing this. We are, by the way, on Zoom, so I can see these gentlemen are being truthful. You're into the championship. You said it. You did it. Do you think you can continue that tonight, Scott?
I mean, I think I started this thing number one. I got to finish this thing number one. So I'm ready for this. Let's have some fun, but I'm ready to take that crown. I don't care if I'm doing it in a parking lot either.
All right. Well, he is facing a man who I see now looking laid back, calm, cool, and collected. He is a veteran of the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament. Jay from North Bay. You said you're playing for keepsies this year, not funsies. How you feeling going into the finals?
That's right. I'm sitting here in my palatial estate in North Bay, Ontario. I'm here to make this young man humble and take the championship back to Canada where it belongs.
Already quoting the Iron Sheik with the humbling. Well, we'll see if he's if he will be humbled, if he'll be Brian Blair, or if he will be Hulk Hogan. We will find out tonight.
Break his back and make him up.
Lavransky would appreciate it. All right, gentlemen. Here is how this is going to go today. We couldn't just do 5-on-5 as far as the question goes. You guys are each going to get 9 questions, and steals are in play. If we hit a tie at the end of that, it will become a sudden death round. But I figure that it's 2 points for every correct answer that you are given, and 1 point if you steal it away from your opponent. Now, guys, do you remember not last round, but the round before your topic? It was the pop culture of wrestling. Well, friends, for the first time ever, I've never done this category before. Today, you get wrestling in pop culture.
Oh.
That will be your topic today. Good luck, gentlemen. Here we go. Scott, you are player one. Jay, you are player two. And here we go, Scott. Mr. T was beside Hulk Hogan as his tag team partner at WrestleMania 1. Hogan would also appear in an episode of The A-Team. To kick off that episode of The A-Team, they go to watch Hogan in a match. What fellow WWF talent is Hulk Hogan wrestling on that episode of The A-Team?
I'll say Paul Orndorff.
It's not Paul Orndorff. Therefore, Jay, would you like to steal?
This is going to be a really bad round, I have a feeling. I'm going to say Nikolai Volkoff.
It is not Nikolai Volkoff. The correct answer for that was Big John Studd is who he was wrestling. We go to Jay's first question. Hey, let's stick with Hogan, Jay. Season 6, episode 15 of Baywatch is entitled Bash at the Beach. It stars a whole bunch of WCW talent, including Hulk Hogan. The episode opens when Hogan is having a jet ski race with what ring rival?
Sid Vicious.
It's not Sid Vicious. Scott, for the steal.
I'm going to go with Sting.
It is not Sting. That's a great guess, though, Scott. It was Macho Man Randy Savage. You guys are both doing well is the way I designed this, though. Think time period and think relation to the people that we're talking to. And don't worry, I started you off with a hard one. There's a few softballs here, guys. Don't worry. Okay. Scott, back to you. And I feel as though this is one of those softballs, so good luck. On the 90s sitcom Boy Meets World, what wrestler portrays Francis Stachino Sr., the father of Frankie and Herman?
That would be Vader.
Got that one. That is Scott with 2 points right there. Very good. All right, Jay, to you. Cyndi Lauper appeared at WrestleMania 1. This was after what WWF talent appeared as her father in the Girls Just Want to Have Fun video?
That's Captain Lou Albano.
Exactly it is, Jay. See, guys, I told you. They go up and down. I just scared you with that first one. Jay has 2 points right there. All right, we go back to you here, Scott. During an episode of the sitcom Parks and Rec, what WWE star made an appearance on Andy Dwyer's The Johnny Karate Super Awesome Musical Explosion Show finale?
Randy Orton.
It was not Randy Orton. Jay, would you like to steal?
No idea.
You're not even going to take a guess.
I'll say John Cena.
That is a correct answer.
Oh.
John Cena for 1 point. Jay, you have won.
If I didn't say Orton, I was going to say Cena.
I'm surprised, actually, Scott, because you got to think of the eras with everything that we're talking about today, and that's when Cena was getting himself out into the acting world. But perhaps you'll do it with another question. Jay, this one goes over to you. On Nash Bridges, who played Jake Cage, a renegade cop who rode a motorcycle and worked in fugitive retrieval?
Steve Austin.
That is correct, Jay. 2 points right there, Steve Austin. the promos that they used to show on Raw were ridiculous. So I figured you guys might remember that one. Scott, back over to you. Okay, I said there's easy ones and I said there's hard ones, and we're back to the latter. In the cartoon Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling, what future Everybody Loves Raymond co-star got one of his first mainstream gigs as the voice of Hulk Hogan?
What's his name? I don't know his name. I can picture him. Oh, well, I'm just going to say Ray Romano, because that's the name I remember.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Go with something. It was not Ray Romano. So for the steal, Jay.
It was his brother. Is it Robert on the show?
I cannot give you that, though.
Oh, I don't know his name.
The actor's name is Brad Garrett. He did play Robert, but I needed Brad Garrett. There are no points assigned for that question. All right, Jay, to you for this one. I try to even things out, so let's stick with Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling. What sitcom star and future Fresh Prince actor was the voice of the Junkyard Dog?
Alfonso Ribeiro?
He would have been a little bit young at that point. It is not Alfonso Ribeiro. And we go to Scott for the steal.
Man, I only know wrestling. I don't know the pop culture part of it. I'm going to say Will Smith. That's wrong.
It's not Will Smith. The correct answer is Uncle Phil. James Avery is the name I was looking for. I thought maybe one of you would get it because he also had a run on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as the voice of Shredder. And that's pretty heavy in the world of geek. And let's face it, we're doing a wrestling trivia quiz. We're all major nerds. All right, here we go. Over to you, Scott. This is a little bit more current. In the Netflix series Glow, what current WWE talent played Salty the Sack Johnson, the trainer, in season one?
Carlito.
It was not Carlito. Carlito, I believe, was in the series, but that is not the part that I was looking for. All right, Jay.
I didn't watch it. Sarah Logan.
It was not Sarah Logan. The correct answer is John Morrison was in the first season. No points awarded there. All right, now we go to you, Jay, and doesn't bode well with what you just told me. In the Netflix series Glow, what former WWE talent played a wrestler known as Steel Horse?
Shotzi Blackheart.
It was not Shotzi Blackheart. For the steal, Scott.
I'm going to say, I know I just said Carlito, but I'm going to say Brodus Clay.
You know what? He was in the series as well, but that is not the part I was looking for. Steel Horse was played by Alex Riley. Two very educated guesses, Scott, but unfortunately you don't get points for educated guesses. All right, let's rewind a little bit here with this next question. In 2002, on what James Cameron series, Scott, did Lita break her neck in a fight scene?
I think that was Dark Angel.
That is the correct answer. Very good. The Dark Angel. That is Scott for 2 points right there. All right, let's stick with that era of television to keep it even. Jay, we know that Drew Carey appeared in a WWE Royal Rumble. Well, who did WWE send to Drew's television show to play Buzz Beer spokesperson, the Disciplinarian? Who was on Carey?
Kane.
It was not Kane. For the steal, Scott.
I believe that was Triple H.
That was Triple H, yes, for a point. Now. Yes, it was. All right, back to Scott we go. He's hit a bit of a hot streak, or a Scott streak in this case. Oh, God, that's terrible. All right, here we go. Number 7 for you, Scott. On the DC series The Flash, who appeared as Atom Smasher?
Oh, God. John Cena.
It is not John Cena. To you, Jay, for the steal.
Atom Smasher. Randy Orton.
It is not Randy Orton. To me, this was an easy one. That is Edge who played that part when he went off and did some acting, guys. All right, no points there. Over to you now, Jay, for this one. On the show Smallville, what WWE performer played a superpowered fighter named Titan? Jay.
I need to watch more TV. Titan of, I don't know. Brock Lesnar.
It was not Brock Lesnar. All right, Scott, for the steal.
It doesn't sound like they'd fit this name, but I swear they were on Smallville, so I'm going to say Ashley Massaro.
Scott, an educated guess. She was on Smallville, but she did not play that role. It was Kane who played that role. I mean, educated guess-wise, real good. I researched a ton of stuff, and you keep pressing buttons here. They're just not the right buttons. All right, here we go. Back to you, Scott, for this one. Who wrestled a man in a gorilla suit in Season 7, Episode 15 of Mad About You? Mad About You, by the way, was the Paul Reiser, Helen Hunt series.
I'm just going to say... I'm going to say Kane. I don't know.
It is not Kane. For you, Jay, for the steal.
Was it the Big Show?
It was not the Big Show either. It was the Macho Man, Randy Savage. All right, Jay, to you. On a 1994 episode of Family Matters, Steve Urkel and Carl Winslow face off against what wrestling tag team?
The Steiner Brothers?
It was not the Steiner Brothers. For the steal, Scott.
I'll never forget this episode. It was the Bushwhackers.
That is what I've been waiting to hear. I'm never going to forget this episode because we watch stupid things to see wrestlers on them. And congratulations, that is the steal for Scott. All right, here we go. Back to you, Scott, for this one. When The Rock played his father, Rocky Johnson, on That 70s Show, what WWE Hall of Famer played his manager?
Captain Lou Albano.
It wasn't Captain Lou Albano. Jay, for the steal.
Was it like Afa?
It was not Afa. A great guess. The correct answer is the Big Cat, Ernie Ladd. The Big Cat, Ernie Ladd. Yes, that is a tough one. All right, here we go. Final question for Jay. I don't know the full total right now. I'm going to tally it up. We're playing it out regardless of where we stand. Here is, well, listen closely. It's my longest question.
Okay.
We all know the family on Married with Children was named the Bundys, and they were actually named after King Kong Bundy, who would appear on the show. However, the producers of the show were such wrestling fans that they also named the Bundys' original neighbors after a pro wrestler. Give me the wrestler that gave the neighbor's surname inspiration.
If you will, the back and dream. Dusty Rhodes.
That is correct. Dusty Rhodes for Steve and Marcy Rhodes. That is 2 points for Jay. Let me tally this now, gentlemen. All right, we have Scott, you got two questions correct, and you had two steals for a total of 6 points. Jay, you got three questions correct, and you had one steal for a total of 7 points.
Ooh.
And with that, a 7-6 point victory for two guys who do not know wrestling and pop culture. But congratulations, Jay. I wanted to challenge you. You are the 2021 Turnbuckle Trivia Champion, and you will face Bob from Scranton Sunday night after as the true main event of WrestleMania weekend. Congratulations, okay. Jay.
Thank you very much. Start the parade. Back to Canada. The championship is coming home.
So Jay will now be facing tomorrow night in the Ultimate Championship, Bob from Scranton. And I promised both of them, Jay in particular, that we would not be doing any pop culture tomorrow night. So tomorrow night we will have a wrestling category. To me, though, I mean, I thought I would have actually done pretty well in a quiz like that. But Lavransky, are you still there? Were you listening along? Do you, how would you have done with those? Or is Lavransky gone? He might be gone.
No, I'm here.
Oh, he's there. How would you have done with those?
I would have got some of them. Probably the older ones are the ones I remember, right? The Mad About You with Macho Man and stuff like that.
Yep.
And the Bushwhackers and stuff like that. A lot of the current ones I probably would not have got. I don't think I didn't know the 70s show one with Rock as his father. I didn't know that one. But,
yeah, Ernie Ladd played his father. I didn't remember that either.
I don't remember that either. Yeah, yeah.
So on that show, it had Ken Shamrock, it had the Hardy Boys, and it had The Rock. Right. And I found it, and I was like, oh, Ernie Ladd was there too? Well, that's how we're going to stump these guys with Ernie Ladd. Yeah. And my goal was to stump these guys, I was successful.
Oh, yeah, no, it played out really well. I like how it came right down to the wire, and there was only a point between them. It really is amazing when you sit down and you do an active search in the history of TV when it comes to wrestlers' appearances, because it's amazing. I mean, you can go back to Dick Van Dyke, for God's sake. Fred Blassie was on Dick Van Dyke. Like, it's kind of been a steady. Oh, yeah, because he dated Rose Marie. Fred Blassie dated Rose Marie from the Dick Van Dyke show. So he got, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You could sit down with the history of television and you're going to find tons of instances when pro wrestlers were involved in television shows.
Actually, if you do want to do that, and this is going to be a nice out for us here. Check out RJ City's YouTube channel, because pretty much all the answers to what I did in that trivia are there. He does a segment called The Hollywood Square Circle, where he goes through all these episodes that have wrestlers in sitcoms and other forms of pop culture. Now, also, I mean, he's direct competition for us right now, or maybe the show is done. RJ got to do an after show for WrestleMania tonight.
Yeah, Wrestle After Dark.
So WrestleMania After Dark, it was supposed to be on at midnight. I don't know how that was bumped around. It's going to be on WWE's social media. It might be up there already. I'm not sure. Obviously, we're doing this. Here's the backstory on that. He is the creative juice behind this. He has had a lot of say in what's happened. This was something that was pre-taped. It was not done live. And I am fascinated and very curious to see it. I mean, I gotta process this podcast. Will I stay up to watch it? Because I have to be up tomorrow to do a trivia show. Maybe not, but we shall talk about it tomorrow night. I'm gonna watch it before tomorrow. Big congrats to RJ. I mean, he's of course a friend of mine. He's done stuff on stage with me. He was on Splat a lot. He's a great guy. He is extremely talented, and I'm so glad.
Yeah, he's so talented. The thing that blows my mind is the stuff that he's so interested in. Like, I've never met someone of his age. Like, when I talk to RJ half the time, I feel like I'm talking to someone my age. Yeah. Like, he's all about Paul Lynn. And and covering all these old shows and finding wrestlers' appearances on TV shows. Like, Yeah, it's weird. His influences in that come from a stranger place than I would expect someone his age. But yeah, great guy. And he always does come up with clever stuff. I'm not really into him in his underwear, but everything else is pretty good.
All right. Well, we'll see if he is in his underwear on the show.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't know. I mean, what's the difference?
After dark.
Tights are in underwear. It's the same.
After dark.
So, check that out. It should be on WWE socials. I'm not sure when they're putting it up, but it was supposed to air at midnight tonight. Obviously, things got a little bumped around. We, however, are going to say goodnight for tonight. We will be back tomorrow after WrestleMania, night number 2. We got a bunch of people left in the chat here. Tomorrow night, Mark had the thought of perhaps doing a watch along for the Jericho and Austin
thing. The podcast.
Do we want to do a watch along and then kick things off after that? Or I mean, we would be here, the chat would be open, we can hang out and not talk over top of it, but chat in the chat as it is going on.
How long is it, Jay? Is it like an hour?
An hour. It'll be an hour show. Yeah.
Okay.
So we would just have another very late night. Did you take Monday off work?
I did indeed.
Good for you, Mouth.
I have this awesome option where instead of taking Easter Monday, I can take this coming Monday.
That's perfect.
So that's what I said. Oh, yes. Thank you very much. Yeah. So we can go as late as you want.
So, yeah, so maybe, Mark, what do you think?
Why don't I put a poll in the Facebook group?
Okay.
Right? And then we can see how people feel.
No, let's put a poll on the Patreon. I'll put a poll on the Patreon because we don't really care about
the
people who aren't attending, right?
Yeah.
They can see what they're all missing out on.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Right.
So I will put one in there. Did someone just change their name to Chris Best?
I don't know.
Oh, sorry, yes, Chris Best. I was thinking the troll that we had on
Chris Burns. You're thinking Chris of Burns.
No, Chris Best. Chris Best Chris. Is no. He's yes. Okay, I know Chris Best. Yeah. I thought it was Chris Burns.
Fine. No.
Why is he
sorry,
here?
Chris Best. So sorry.
sorry, Chris Best. Yeah, I didn't mean that. All right. So so that'll be tomorrow night. We'll figure that out. I'll put up a poll, guys. As you know, you'll be getting the link for tomorrow night's show. That'll be coming at you in your inboxes. And to those of you that are listening on the regular podcast feed, sign up and join us. There was a few people that joined tonight, and my apologies, you joined during the show, and I couldn't send you the link because it didn't come up. I was busy hosting the show. But tomorrow night, I hope you are able to join us. And that's it. Thanks, guys, for doing this, and thanks, everyone, for attending. And we will check back with you tomorrow night after WrestleMania, night number 2. Don't you dare miss it.
Brother.